If you enjoy our hymn studies, be sure to check out the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions. Praise and Honor contains a devotional for each stanza from hymns like God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, We Praise and Acknowledge You, O God, and more. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. At morn's in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear.
The Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. Just in that hymn alone, you hear so much rich biblical theology. There's so much there, not only for increasing our Christian knowledge, but also for Christian devotion. We're going to continue a conversation we started yesterday on hymns like O Come, Emmanuel in Christian devotion. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Yesterday, we recorded an interview on hymns and Christian devotion with Pastor Timothy Shoup. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bondwell, Wisconsin, and author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions. Today, we're going to air part two of our conversation. We'll pick up with Pastor Shoup's answer to my question, what kind of questions should we ask of a stanza when studying a hymn? And give us some examples of a particular hymn that answers these questions.
What comes to mind for me is maybe similar to where we started, what makes a good hymn. I think what we want to do, at least what I do, is ask myself, okay, what is Christ teaching or proclaiming in this hymn? Is he convicting me? Is he warning me about something? Is he warning me about death or, you know, about judgment, about the last day? Is he pointing his finger at me about my incessant idolatry and love for the world and that sort of thing? Or is the hymn comforting me? And if so, how? Is it assuring me that God is in control even when it looks like he isn't? Is it assuring me again that even though I messed up one more time, he is still my Savior and his blood still covers me? Is it doing both of those things? So I like to ask, what is God doing for me? What is Christ doing for me in this hymn, if that's what it's about? Sometimes it is a hymn of praise, but then a good one is still going to tell us why we need to be or can and should be praising him. But what's the message that Christ's giving us? Is it law? Is it gospel? Is it both? And what nuances of that message from God is it with law and gospel?
Talk about the need for the hymns of the church to reinforce and repeat the message of the Sunday morning propers, the scripture readings, and the preaching of God's word.
Well, I think when as pastors, when we do that well, when we plan a worship service well, so that things tie together and the hymns restate or, you know, reinforce the message of the sermon and the prayers and what have you, then I think we get comments after church. Somebody will say, Pastor, that was a really nice service. And they might not actually know why they're saying that, but they just kind of have this sense that it all hung together. And maybe a simple illustration is kind of like the right clothes that we wear for the occasion. So if my wife and I are going to go out for dinner once in a while, you know, I might put a nice sweater on or a sport coat or something. But a few months from now, when our oldest child comes over with her husband and grandchildren and I go outside to build a snowman, then I've got boots and snow pants on and kind of dress for the occasion. So I think hymns do that. They help dress the service for what the theme of the day is and what the message of the sermon is. And when that doesn't happen, then things seem to not flow nicely and don't work well together.
We have Advent coming up on us, and you include in your book the Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. What did you find there?
With that hymn, everybody knows it. We've been singing it all of our lives. And O Come, Emmanuel, it didn't really occur to me that each stanza actually addresses Jesus with a different title from the Old Testament. So I'm used to thinking about, okay, we're praying for the Lord to return, and he can't come too soon. That'll be wonderful when he does. And we got the word Emmanuel in the title. And then there's some other words floating around, day spring and key of David and root of Jesse and this sort of thing. Well, actually, those phrases, there's one per stanza. And each stanza then speaks about Christ and who he is based on that title. So what I need to do is my homework for the devotions and figure out what do those different titles mean that we've sung, and some of them I had no idea what they meant, frankly. You know, what, where does dayspring come from? What exactly is the root or branch of Jesse, and why is Jesus called that? So I did a little digging and some, you know, research to try and figure out what those titles are, how many times are they used in the Bible, and why, and that sort of thing, and then tried to write devotionally, and that was very helpful. That was makes to him mean more to me, and hopefully to others too who go through it.
What is the value of memorizing hymns? I mean, sometimes we actually memorize them by default. We just sing them so much that they become second nature. But what's the value of intentionally memorizing the hymns we sing?
That's an interesting question because, you know, I have a few hymns memorized, or maybe only the first stanza of a few, but I think what comes to mind for me, is it not true that you could maybe forget a Bible verse unless you review it frequently enough, but once you have a hymn, I guess maybe the same thing's true for a Bible verse, but it just seems to me that if you memorize a hymn and you have it, you don't forget it. And the reason is because music helps us memorize things. So like you said, you might not even be planning on singing a hymn, and all of a sudden you find yourself humming or singing a certain hymn, and those notes help us carry the words. So on the one hand, the value of memorizing a hymn is that it stays with us. We don't forget it. And then more importantly, of course, is the what is it that we don't forget are the words to that hymn that bring Christ to us. I think the first hymn that I memorized was probably in Vacation Bible School as a, I don't know, 5, 6, 7-year-old or something like that, is I Am Trusting Thee, Lord Jesus. And there's no way that hymn doesn't still pop into my head, like you were saying. I'm not going to say daily, but it's not like it's only twice a year. And those words are right there. And Todd, I'm sure you know too that I don't think there's a pastor who hasn't had the experience more than one time where you're visiting somebody who's near death or maybe a shut-in and they're elderly and their capacities are waning, you know, and they don't communicate so well anymore, maybe don't hear that well. But if you start with your devotion and if you put a hymn stanza in or you sing a little bit of the liturgy, the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God, or something like that when you're having communion with them, they perk up a little bit more. And I've had it happen more than one time where I'll sing the first verse because I maybe don't have the hymnal, and that's the only one I can remember. And then they start singing the second one and the third one. So the hymns, they stay with us, and what stays with us are those, you know, those great words of who Christ is and what he's done for us.
Finally, for hymn-based devotions, did you end up writing a lot of stuff that you already knew, or did you learn new things that were helpful to you personally?
Probably some of each, but I would say, you know, the stuff that I wrote that I already knew probably was from personal experiences and stories that I tried to include to make the devotions relational and that sort of thing, and certainly some things that I knew I wrote in the devotions. But I expected to learn a lot, and I learned even more than I expected. And, you know, some of that we talked about a little bit already with the Te Deum or with God's Own Child, learning about that hymn. Another example that I can think of would be Rock of Ages. Now, that's a well-known hymn, of course. Everybody knows that hymn. But if I asked our men's club a few months ago, so when should we sing Rock of Ages? What's that hymn really about? And they all said kind of what I thought. Well, we sing it for a funeral because it's comforting, or you sing it when you're down, and it's, you know, you go to the Lord when you need his reassurance and comfort and things like that. And I said, well, that's what I thought. And it's not wrong to sing the hymn at those times, certainly. And most of us have heard the story of the author who supposedly wrote the hymn when he was caught in the middle of a thunderstorm, and so he hides in the cleft of a rock. You know, that maybe leads us to think that, okay, the hymn is, you know, going to the Lord for protection when I'm afraid of death for myself, or maybe sadness when I've lost a loved one. But actually, you look at the hymn, and it's not about going to the Lord when I'm afraid of death or afraid of the loss and sadness or when I'm depressed or something about that. It's about one thing every single verse, and that is about forgiveness in the face of my judge. So even with the first verse, let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. So right away in stanza one, it's about sin. Same thing happens in the second stanza where we get that list of not the labors of my hands, and then something about zeal, and even if my tears forever flow. And then comes the conclusion of that stanza, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Does that every single stanza, including the fourth word, then it steps up even a, you know, a note higher, and has us when we see beyond thy judgment throne, or whatever the phrase is about meeting the judge. So it's not about a prayer for comfort in a time of death. It's about a prayer for forgiveness and mercy when I meet my judge when I die. And that was a big learning thing for me. I just didn't realize that this is what this hymn is actually about. So that happened a number of times, and I tried to express that devotionally when those things would come to me.
Pastor Timothy Shoup is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bondwell, Wisconsin, and he's author of the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November, Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions. You can find a link to Praise and Honor at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House and ask for this great devotional resource that is grounded in the great hymns of the church, Praise and Honor. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November. Pastor Shoup, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd, very much. I appreciate it.
When we come back, it's our feature this week in Pop Christianity Today, a sermon preached by megachurch co-pastor Don Cherie Wilkerson on hearing God's voice. Pastor Chris Roseborough will be our guest.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.